Our first scripture lesson comes from the Psalms, Psalm 24. Together, let us listen for God's word. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it, for he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false, he will receive the Lord's blessing and vindication from God his Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, and the King of glory may come into it. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. Amen. And then from Paul's second letter to the church at Corinth, we hear these words. I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for his sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. And here is my advice about what is best for you to do in this matter. Last year, you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now finish the work that you so that your eager willingness to do, that it may be matched by the completion according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn their plenty will supply what you need. And then there will be equality. As it is written, he who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little did not have too little. Let us pray. Dear God, we ask that something unexpected happen that isn't in our bulletins this morning or imagined by us as we came this morning, as your Holy Spirit moves in our hearts, for we ask that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The passage that I read from Corinthians is one in which Paul is talking to the church about an offering that was to be taken for the church in Jerusalem who was on hard times. And the Corinthians had been eager to jump right in and make this offering. And now it's time to collect it and to take it to Jerusalem. And so Paul's encouraging them to have the same eagerness to actually give it as they had to desire to give. And he reminds them that Jesus Christ was rich, became poor in order that we might all be rich. He also wants them to give proportionately. And he suggests also that God does not ask you to give out of what you don't have, but asks you to give out of what you do have. You and I can learn a lot if we read about the giving patterns in this country. We learn that there's three basic important reasons about why people choose to give something. Number one, they believe in the mission of the group to which they're giving. They want to give to a camp that really enables young people to go to camp. They want to give to cancer research because they want to find a cure for cancer. They want to give when they know and support the mission of the church or the Heart Association or the American Cancer Society, whatever it is. The second reason why people give is that they have faith in the leadership. It's not the office, that bricks and mortar, that accomplishes anything. It's not the programs that organization have that could just simply sit on the shelf, but it's the leadership and the staff that uses those programs to help. Do you believe in the leadership and the staff of the organization that you're choosing to give money to? And then the third reason is, do you believe that those who are handling the money that you entrust to them, to use it wisely, with integrity and honesty and responsibility? You and I assume, at least I do, get a lot of pieces of mail that ask for my support, Diane's support. I don't know anybody that gives simply because they give. We want to give to those places that we believe in the mission, that we understand and trust the leadership, and that we believe there's accountability. And so given those three reasons, I want to share a couple things with you this morning. I believe in the mission of the Church of Jesus Christ. I have seen people who are addicted set free of their addiction. I have seen people who are facing death, and because of their faith, are saying, yes, go ahead and pull the plug. I've seen broken relationships that have been restored and healed because of Jesus Christ. I've seen people's lives transformed. And so I and Diane support the mission of the Church of Jesus Christ. We trust the leadership. You know, I look around here today, what a wonderful choir we have under the leadership of two very capable people in Randolph with praise music. We have a custodian that keeps everything neat and clean and ready for mission and ministry of this congregation, sound that we can hear. A nursery that's staffed for young people. Christian education and outreach that's done with joy and passion. An office where people are welcomed with hospitality and warmth. What wonderful leadership. And then I think, as Bob talked about the elders and the finance committee, that you have a group of people who are committed to handling the money that you choose to give to them as though it's a sacred trust. To handle it responsibly, to try to do the best job they can do with what it is that you give to them. You and I are to give of our time and our talent and our financial resources to the ministry of Jesus Christ here in this church and beyond. Money and financial resources is a pretty important topic in the Bible. One out of every six verses in the Gospels deals with our responsible use of the money and the resources that God has given us. 16 out of 38 parables deal with that as well. So over the years that I've been a pastor, I've talked about tithing. I've talked about percentage giving and proportional giving and worship offering. But the one word that seems to tie it all together for me is significant. Significant offering. When I was part of a high school youth group, Bruce, after collecting the offering, had a prayer in which he said something to the effect that, God, may we have given something until it hurts. And his comment has stuck with me, and later I discovered that what that meant to me was significant. Give until it's a significant amount. Now, what's significant? Well, I tend to think that if you or I am able to put $5 in the offering plate and never miss it, that isn't significant. If we're able to put $5 in the offering plate and it is significant, it is something that we will miss, then it is something significant. And what is significant will be different for each one of us. It's not possible to say, well, you ought to do this and you ought to do that, or it's the same for you. Whatever is significant for you. I think if we do a significant offering, it will have a major impact on our life and our spiritual life. As I said, we have a wonderful choir. They are here on Wednesday nights to rehearse. What, an hour? More or less? 2 hours? Longer if it's cantata time? Okay? And we appreciate what they do. But my suspicion is come Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Thursday morning, Friday morning, Saturday morning, whenever they're doing whatever it is that they do, they don't think about the hour or 2 hours that they gave up during the week to be in the choir. But a significant offering, for whatever that is for you or for me, will impact every moment of every hour of every day of every week. Because when I or Diane go to the grocery store to buy groceries, and we have to weigh whether we can afford to buy this or not, because we have given a significant part of our offering to God and His ministry, we are reminded of whose we are, what we believe, and the hope we have in Jesus Christ. Can we go out to eat? When we think about whether we can afford to go out and eat or not, it's because we have chosen to give a significant offering to God's ministry. And we are reminded of whose we are, of what we believe, and where our hope is. When there's not as much money at the end of the pay period as we would like in our checking account, we are once again reminded of whose we are, and our hope, and our commitment. A significant offering, however you figure that, impacts every moment of our life throughout the week, month, reminding us whose we are, what we believe, where our hope is, and whose we are. Now, this week, or shortly, you're going to receive your pledge card. I encourage you to pray about it. What would be a significant offering for you? What level of giving will have an impact on your lifestyle and be a witness to you personally as to whose you are, what you believe, where your hope is in Jesus Christ? So what is it that you're giving to? Those of you who tithe, what is it that you're tithing to? For those of you who do a worship offering, what is it you're giving to? Let me say what it's not. Your offering is not to First Presbyterian Church. Your offering is not to the budget. Your offering is to God. Is what I'm giving worthy of worshiping God? Is what I'm giving, putting in the offering plate, is that a worship offering? A significant offering? Is what I put in this offering plate something that will honor God as I give it to Him to be used in His ministry? The question isn't, what is my share of the church's budget? It's the wrong question. The real question is, what is God's share of my income and my financial resources? Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for the many blessings that you have poured out upon us. Help us each day in faith to give back our time and our talents and of our financial resources in ways that are significant and worshipful and honoring to you. And in so doing, put our trust completely in your hand. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's join in singing, "We Give Thee But Thine Own."